Welcome to Ambleside Flourish, brought to you by Ambleside Schools International. This is our series on the pursuit of maturity with Dr. Bill St. Cyr, Executive Director of Ambleside Schools International, hosted by Ambleside School of Colorado. Part 1, continued.
If you learn it, actually at 2 is the easiest time to learn it. At 30, it's much more difficult to learn to peacefully accept no. And we've all probably met 30-year-olds who don't peacefully accept no. I mean, just think about it. Just that one thing. How much better life would be if you're one of those who peacefully accepts no, doesn't get bent out of shape, understands that you can't always do what you want. You don't always get what you want. You peacefully accept no. And again, here's the cue. You never learn that unless you experience it. I mean, there's a whole instruction out there in certain circles that tell parents never to tell, if possible, never tell your children no. That's a disaster. Because if they never hear no, they never learn to peacefully accept no. And then they get out into the world. And the world's not going to say yes to them all the time. And when they get married, to be married to someone who doesn't peacefully accept no is extraordinarily difficult for everybody. It's a two-year, ideal. You're not really equipped to learn it until you're about 2, and it should take a year in most cases. I mean, we all develop differently at different rates, so sometimes it might take a little longer. But ideally, by 3, we can peacefully accept no. Got that? If you're 3 years old and you can peacefully accept no, you can emotionally self-regulate well, and you have a sense of a coherent personality and what it means to be you and how our people live, you are set up. I mean, you are ready to do life. Another task, to master the body. To be able to sit still and master your body. To make it do what it needs to do. It's actually a very complex task, right? We've talked about this before. It involves balancing the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems in a narrow sweet spot that keeps me at an appropriate level of physical arousal for the task at hand. So I'm not sleeping and I'm not bouncing. I am awake and sitting still. That is a very complex task. It is also extraordinarily difficult to accomplish if you're spending most of your time in front of television screens or other kinds of screens. Because what those kinds of media do is they emotionally regulate us. And because they're emotionally regulating us, if I'm 2 years old and I'm in front of a screen, and the content may be benign, but the screen itself is now emotionally regulating me. And if every time I get upset, mom puts me in front of a screen so that the screen can emotionally regulate me, what don't I learn? I don't learn how to emotionally self-regulate. I'm always regulated by a screen. To master my body so that my arms and legs aren't flailing everywhere in every direction. Now again, like all things, some of these tasks are easier for certain children, some of them more difficult for other children, some take a little time. It doesn't take us off the hook. Sometimes we get naturals, right? You know what a natural is? The natural is the four-year-old who picks up a baseball and for the first throw it's 15 feet straight into his father's glove, first time. That's a natural. What do most four-year-olds do? They pick up the ball and it goes that way, that way, that way. Some of them within a few weeks. Some of them it's going to take 20 minutes a day, three times a week for a year before they become proficient in that neurophysiological skill. All right. We all have strengths, we all have weaknesses, we all develop at a different rate, but the tasks remain the same. Here's another one. To learn to rest. To emotionally self-quiet. That's something that no baby's born knowing how to do. How does a child learn? Learns from a bonded relationship with someone who knows how to do it. How to go from a high energy state to a low energy state. Complex task. Another thing is to cultivate curiosity. The three-year-old should be enormously curious, have intimate relationships with many things. How does that happen? Well, needs someone to joy bond with them in exploration. Right? I remember as a child, we were reading Charlotte's Web. I remember climbing into the bed with my mother and my four younger siblings at the time, and we're all surrounding Mom every night, and she's reading Charlotte's Web. I mean, I'm 6 years old, so we must have been 6, 5, 4, 2, and newborn. And so we're reading Charlotte's Web, and we notice a couple of days later that on the side next to our front door was a big spider web. What did we name the spider? Charlotte, of course, right? You see, as I was joyfully bonded with my mother, we also joyfully then bonded and were curious about spiders and books and all kinds of wonderful things. Children are made to be curious, but if it's not cultivated, it's the old neuroscience principle of use it or lose it. If you got a neural network, if you don't use it, it starts to degrade. So these are the tasks. And imagine if you've got a three-year-old who's highly curious, who can go from excitement to rest, has mastered his body, joy bonds well with the important people, trusts easily, has organized himself into a coherent personality, can regulate and quiet his emotions, returns to joy well, and peacefully accepts no. How well is that child going to do in life? I mean, you got those skills down at 3, you're set up. You get them down at 8, you're ready to go. And if it takes to 12, okay, but let's get them done. Pity the 30-year-old who has not mastered these skills. So what do we do? And we'll end with this. How do we cultivate emotional maturity? First, emotional relational skills must be passed on relationally. We get them from those with whom we have bonded relationships. You cannot give a lecture about an emotional, relational, or a maturity skill and expect it to take. We get it by being bonded with someone who has the skill. And most of the transfer is unconscious. Now, for that to happen, we actually have to have time together. Children need time with you. They need time with others. And when you look at the data and you compare the number of hours children have with screens as compared to the number of hours they have with dad or mom, I mean, it's hugely out of whack. Hours a day of screen time, a few minutes at best a day with dad. Screens are useful purveyors of information. They are useful purveyors of information. They are not capable of passing on emotional relational skills. Can't be done. They can emotionally regulate us, but they can't teach us how to emotionally self-regulate. First thing, they're only past relationally, that means time. And beyond time, it requires high joy relationships. If I'm in a low joy state, it is unlikely you will learn anything from me emotionally, relationally. Because if you sense I'm in a low joy state, everything's going, danger, danger, shields up. Right? And if I'm a child, it's the big brain in the house is in a dangerous state, shields up. I'm not going to learn anything emotionally, relationally at that point, but perhaps to try to how to hide and run away. But nothing useful in terms of maturity. So this emotional, relational transfer of maturity skills only happens when we're in a high joy state. And that doesn't mean effervescent. It doesn't mean bubbly. Some of us are more effervescent. I'm not particularly an effervescent personality. That's not what it means. What it means is, hey, good to be me here with you. I'm cool. I love you. I'm with you. I'm for you. You know what you did? That ain't going to stand. But I'm with you and I'm for you. I'm not in danger of brain dysfunction right now. And guarantee every child knows when there's an adult in the room who's in danger of brain dysfunction. Every child reads it. And every child immediately says, danger, danger, shields up. How do I stay safe here? So it requires to be bonded, with someone who's high joy, and to be bonded with someone who's got the relational skill that I don't have. So as long as I don't know how to do shame real well, I'm not going to be very helpful to anybody else learning it. So if I've got a weakness, I need to go to school myself. Another way to say it is that we learn relational, emotional skills largely through unconscious processes of imitation in people we're bonded with. That's how we learn them. Mindsight is hugely important. By mindsight, do you know the term? It means my capacity to be aware of what's happening in me and to be aware of what's really happening in you. It requires a certain pause so that if I know I'm about to go into brain dysfunction, I can at least call an internal timeout. I'm aware of what's happening in me, and I'm seeing, okay, my child right here, I can see it in the eyes, I can see it in the face. If we're about to go into major meltdown mode. His frontal lobes are about to shut down. He's about to become a puddle of goo on the floor. This is probably not the time for a lecture. Right? So what is needed here right now is attunement, comfort, a sense of safety so that we can kind of get out of panic mode and then maybe do some transference of the necessary skills. So mindsight, I'm aware of what's happening with me, I'm aware of what's happening in you. It requires the transmission of an idea. But now notice, most of these ideas about how to do life or manage, they're ideas, but most of them are not verbal ideas and most of them are primarily unconscious, nonverbal. But a conscious verbal idea can set up the unconscious for learning an emotional relational skill. For instance, some of the teachers have been talking to, throughout the Ambleside Network, have been talking to their students about homeostasis. You know, the balancing of the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems at a sweet spot that allows you to stay quiet but focused. And so they're actually then practicing homeostasis. You know, and if you're 6 years old, I'm practicing homeostasis here right now. I mean, they get that idea, and that can help you learn a skill. Now, a lecture doesn't help anybody learn an emotional relational skill. The sharing of an idea that can make sense of life to a child can then set them up and facilitate the learning of an emotional relational skill. And finally, practice. Practice, practice, practice. That's how we learn anything. Anything that has to be encoded in a neural network in our brain is learned through practice. And you don't get to practice unless we're together and uncomfortable stuff happens. We've made this huge mistake with childhood in trying to keep all the uncomfortable stuff out of children's lives, and we've made them completely incapable of dealing with life, because uncomfortable stuff happens in life. Again, that's different from trauma. We protect children from trauma. It is every adult's responsibility to protect every child from trauma. We don't protect them from uncomfortable stuff. We walk with them through them. We attune with them in the midst of the uncomfortable stuff, and we help them to learn how to process it and how to grow up and how to mature. Now, that's the infant level tasks. And you can imagine, get those down by three and you're set, because the rest will come pretty easily. All right, that's the thought for tonight. And thanks so much. And I'm 2 minutes over time, so please forgive me. But great to be with y'all.
Thank you for listening to Ambleside Flourishes series on the pursuit of maturity with Dr. Bill St. Cyr, Executive Director of Ambleside Schools International, hosted by Ambleside School of Colorado. Ambleside Schools International fosters an educational renewal based upon the pedagogical insights of British educator Charlotte Mason. Serving an international community of parents, teachers, and schools, Ambleside makes a living education accessible to all. For additional information regarding Ambleside Schools International and training opportunities for principals, teachers, and parents, please visit our website at ambleside schools.com.